If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Today we have our very first happy hour, I'm excited to announce. And I have my producer, Kelly Brink, from the sexy state of Iowa. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I'm so excited to be here co-hosting this with you.
I know, it's so fun. So every week, let's tell people what this is. So every week now, every Friday, we are going to have happy hour, which means we're going to be like going over what happened in the week. We're going to have a drink with us. You guys should grab a drink with you. Or if you're driving, don't do that, obviously.
Yeah, don't do that.
But we are going to have all sorts of segments that, you know, we do every week that we think you guys will be really interested in. And also, it'll recap like the guests we've had, the news of the week, anything that we find we want to reconsider a little more at the end of the week and hopefully make it fun and interesting for you guys. And we have some really big announcements today. So I'm really excited for you to join us.
I am too. And it's a great way to start the weekend, which I love. So it's like just a fun thing. People can get to know you better.
That's right. I don't love doing that so much. I like being on the other end where I can interview people, but so they can get to know me. They can get to know you. So let's start with that, actually. So Kelly, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? Okay. Well, hi, I'm Kelly. I'm Rachel's producer. I live in Iowa, which surprises everyone, but Iowa pops, right?
Yes,
Iowa
pops. It does pop.
It does. So I've just been enjoying working in this genre of podcasting. My background for years has been true crime. So this is a huge deviation from that, but it's been super fun. And
what kind of shows were you doing in true crime?
So I had a show called True Crime IRL. I just covered mostly like murder cases, unsolved cases. And then I started working with some other podcasts like Truth and Justice with Bob Ruff, True Crime Binge, True Crime Garage a little bit. So I've worked on all those shows doing like their producing, editing videos, things like that, live shows too.
Who would you say was the most interesting guest you met or had on?
Oh my goodness. One of the most interesting guests I had on was Ian Bailey. He lives in Ireland. There was this documentary done a while back on Sophie Toscan de Planchier. She was a French woman who had a home in Cork, Ireland, and she was murdered. And a couple different networks have done documentaries on the story. And there was one man at the center of this case who they honed in on. He was not found guilty. He actually was in France, but that's a whole other story. But he's kind of been a recluse, hiding out in Ireland, hiding away from the media and stuff because he's been persecuted by the media. It's just been crazy. So I had him on. He told his story. He's doing a podcast.
Does he admit to being involved? Like what? No, his story.
He says he had no involvement at all. He was a journalist at the time, and he was one of the first journalists on the scene to cover the case. It was really the court of public opinion that found him guilty for the most part, because they said he had like a weird fascination with the woman and the case, and that, you know, that he was an odd character. And he's an odd person. He will admit that, you know, he writes poetry.
That doesn't make you a murderer.
That's right. It does not make you a murderer. So he's been at the center of this focus in the investigation for decades. He says he had nothing to do with it. That was pretty interesting, but there have been so many.
Yeah. And what about anyone that's come on as an expert? Like, I know you interviewed Nancy Grace, who I'm dying to have on the show, or you had her on one of the shows.
Yeah, well, I met Nancy at CrimeCon, actually, because I go to all the crime cons. So I've met her a couple times, talked to her a little bit. I never got to have her on the show, but I do, like, I have talked to her a little bit. But I had Chris Hansen on the show. And
the best. Yeah. And you booked him for me too. And he was fantastic. What did you
think? I mean, I'm like awestruck by him. He's such an iconic figure in true crime with his work on To Catch a Predator and all of his, you know, new stuff. He's just so smart, so well spoken.
Yeah. And Chris has a new network out called True Blue.
True Blue. Yep. True Blue.
I sat down with him last week. His episode should be coming out in a couple weeks now. But I used to be like in awe of him also. I thought he was fantastic. And, you know, I would watch that Dateline show once a week or whenever it came on. And I couldn't wait to see who this idiot was that got, you know, fooled into coming to this house and saw this young girl folding laundry or making cookies and, you know, didn't realize that they were on To Catch a Predator because it had become such a famous show. And what was interesting about when I spoke to him, he said that a lot of people were kind of fanboy over him and wanted to tell their whole story to him because they, you know, they knew the show, they knew who he was. And so it was like they almost didn't care about getting caught.
That's like the magic of Chris Hansen. I think he's so personable and approachable and genuine, and people just want to talk to him. So it's like a natural fit for him to be in this line of work. He's been a journalist since his senior year of college.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that episode, when it comes out, will be really interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So getting back to you, you have three children.
I do. I have three kids. My oldest is grown, graduated from college, has a career, all of that. But my two youngest are 9 and 10, and I have all boys. So,
yeah. And it's crazy that you have such an adult child because you look so young. How old are you?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm 45. I was young when I had him. He's 26. So he's literally like my best friend. We talk every day, a couple times a day. Maybe you're not supposed to be like your best friend with your kids. I don't know.
I think a lot of people strive to have that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's good. Yeah.
I have a daughter. So you met her actually. So
yeah,
Maya is a lot different because she is, you know, she's not the type that wants to like cuddle and snuggle. And she's already horrified by me at her age.
Oh my God.
I think that's a something from growing up in Manhattan, right? They grow up so much quicker than anywhere else. So she just turned 11 and she's going on probably 18 or something.
Totally is. She's so sweet though. And she got a little shy when I met her, which was cute because
she was so excited you were coming.
Yeah. She's so sassy. I love her. She's awesome. I'm sending her a little gift in the mail, by the way.
Nice.
She's awesome, but she's so different than my kids. My middle is almost the same age as her, but I'm like, he's really not. He's like 7 and she's literally like 18. I think it's the difference between like country kids or like small town Midwestern kids and city kids. It is a lot different.
Well, and also girls and boys too.
That's true. That is totally true.
Are a little bit faster.
They do. Yeah.
And boys. So, you know, enjoy it because when they turn on you, I don't think boys turn on their moms as much as girls turn on their moms, but no, I have a great relationship with Wyatt. As you know, I took her to the Taylor Swift concert a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
It was just so fun. Like at my age, I would never want to go do anything with my mom, just me and her, me and my grandmother or whatever. To me, that would sound horrifying. But
like now or then?
Well, both.
Oh, okay.
But back when I was her age, you know, it wouldn't sound fun to just go do something with my mom. So she was all about it. We drove from New York to, we took the Amtrak actually and went down to Philadelphia. We met up with, you know, one of my friends that she has known for a really long time and a girl who used to live in New York. And we just literally had the best time and we sat in these seats. And the best part about it, even though, you know, to buy tickets for that, it's like the amount of rent.
Crazy. I know, right? Yeah.
It was crazy. But all that aside, it was so amazing. I'm not even like, I wouldn't have said I was a Swiftie or a Taylor Swift fan. I thought it was so amazing, the energy in that stadium, everybody standing up, knowing every song, being so excited. And I filmed more than the stage, I filmed my daughter and her reaction because I thought it was just so cute how happy she was. And she just had the best time. And we had the best time. So it was a really fun bonding moment. And I like spending this kind of money on this is just like,
I know. Actually, it's like you're spending, like, it's like what you'd spend on a nice vacation somewhere, a once in a lifetime thing, I feel like. And yeah, that's so special. You guys got to share that.
Yeah. And it's so funny because Wyatt went with her friends to back to Philadelphia this past weekend and went and saw Ed Sheeran. And I thought what was crazy was the tickets were like $90 or something.
Oh, wow. I love Ed Sheeran.
I know he's amazing.
Yes, he is.
He is like so fun to see in concert, but she was like, oh, it was okay. It wasn't. And by the way, they were in the second row on the floor and that was $90 seat. So that's what I thought was pretty crazy about
that. Wow. So did you know the words to sing along with the Taylor Swift songs and stuff?
Surprisingly, I did.
You did. Okay. That's awesome. But,
and she's also a fantastic entertainer and performer. I mean, I've been to concerts like Celine Dion with people that have like amazing voices and that's a different kind of experience. I wouldn't say her voice is anything like extraordinary, but her songs and her songwriting is extraordinary. And then the way she performs is really extraordinary. So I thought that was fantastic. And anyone that gets the opportunity to go see her should definitely see her because it really is worth it. And you will not think of the money in a year from now.
Yeah, no, totally agree.
Now, as I've gotten to know you, I have, you know, heard you, you know, say sometimes in the evenings, oh, okay, I'm going on a date and that doesn't last very long. Tell me about your dating history.
Well, I'm divorced. I've been divorced for 4 years now. So the boy's dad is awesome. We're still good friends. We're good co-parents. We get along really well. But the last couple years, I've gotten back into the dating world and it's so hard. It's so,
and
I don't know.
Meeting these men in Iowa.
So mostly dating apps because I live in a really small town too. I've gone on a couple like local dates, people I've met, just through life, but the dating pool is very small. And I saw some depressing stats lately about like your chances of actually finding your person. And it's like a fraction of a percent of a chance. So I'm like, how can that be? Yeah.
Well, but, so many people are talking about how hard it is to meet someone no matter where they live. And, you know, I just interviewed Nick Ritchie, as a matter of fact, who's divorced and is looking, and he has a podcast called Facts, and he has a media conglomerate or whatever called Facts. And he's really focused on Gen Z. And he was saying how hard it is to even, and that's, he's attracted to that age as well, even though he's, you know, in his 40s. But he's like, it's really hard because they're a different generation than we are. I mean, I'm 48, so you and I are pretty much the same. Yeah. And They want different things. They don't give a shit. They like, you know, they're not into it for long-term stuff. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was like working and having a cool job just to even find the guy I wanted to be with. And then yeah. I figured once I found him, I would quit my job. I would have a kid. I would be a homemaker. You know, it's like people were interested in finding their person and getting married back then more than anything. And now people like don't give a shit. I don't think as much at that age. And then people our age are having a really hard time finding anyone because it's like such quick gratification and people will move on so quickly. You know, also at our age, people have developed really weird patterns or idiosyncrasies, and it's hard to meet someone who's normal.
Quirkiness. That's one thing. I mean, I've met people who are like, like weird quirks, like too messy for me, or like too clingy, or like I've had a lot of bad dates, and I feel like I know right away. Do you know right away? I know right away. Yeah.
And remember we had Aliza Ben Shalom on, who is the host of Jewish Matchmaker on Netflix.
Yes.
Or Jewish Matchmaking. And she was really interesting because she gave some really good advice about trying to give people more of a chance than thinking that you know them on the first date. But that is definitely my problem. I'm either like into it on the first date. And if I'm not, then I'm like, oh, forget it. I'm like a total shredder about it. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. And by the way, and we've talked about this, I hate being on dates. It's so uncomfortable. You're sitting across from the person telling your life story or trying to be funny, and you don't know if you have salad in your teeth or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like you just
can't
just can't be yourself, and it's so uncomfortable. And
I know.
To pretend to listen to someone if you're not interested at all, and that can be so irritating.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's just awful being with somebody that you don't know and you don't feel comfortable with.
Totally, and that's why I like how you usually do it in your dating life. You mm-hmm. talk to someone like over text or you know whatever chat or whatever for a while and get a good feel. And Aliza said, like, that's the way to do it. She was like, yeah, that's the best way to do it. And like, so before you're going into this date, you already know if you like are attracted to their spirit kind of or not. Yeah.
I think that going on blind dates can be really detrimental because you just literally don't know if you're about to waste your time. And for me, I found that, you know, dating online or dating, you know, in a blind dating pool where you can actually talk to the person ahead of time makes it so great because then you can see if you have chemistry unrelated to what the person looks like, but chemistry of like, they give good phone. They're
love that.
They're good with their timing. They're transparent. They're responding to you. You know, they don't disappear. If somebody disappears on a text message for 2 days, I'm like, forget it, this guy's an idiot.
Totally.
Or he's just not available. Or, you know, if somebody only texts me, and they won't pick up the phone and call. I also think that's strange.
Red flag, I think.
And maybe it's not, but like maybe they're just not good on the phone or they hate the phone. But for me, I want someone who's transparent enough that they pick up the phone, they call, they can banter. And I think that's really important. So
I think so too.
So with you, we decided at Misunderstood that we are going to do something backwards because we've both found after having spoken so much about it and then obviously knowing a bunch of friends who can't find normal husbands or dates even online, that we are making a huge announcement.
It is. Yeah. It's so huge. Oh, you say it. You announce it. I'm too nervous.
Okay, everybody, this is the biggest announcement we have so far at our show. Kelly Brink is getting married.
I'm getting married. Yeah. I'm getting married. Cheers. Cheers to my wedding. You're going to be my maid of honor, by the way.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I know you get to pick out your dress and everything. So,
Everybody, we're going to explain what we mean by this. So we've decided after having probably drunken conversations or being on Ambien and, and missing the window and just hallucinating, but we decided to try something new and we want you to be a part of this. So Kelly is getting married on New Year's Eve, 2024, and we are going to do this backwards. We are going to look for a husband for her up until then, but we are going to plan this wedding like it's really happening. And we need you as listeners to get involved and help send us, you know, potential suitors, even if they don't live in Iowa, because she can move.
I travel all the time for work. Like I'm gone, I feel like sometimes more than I'm home. So totally good with traveling. Geography has never scared me. Like that's just a detail. So
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, and if it's the right person, wouldn't that be great that this is the way we found him?
Absolutely. I'm totally on board. Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up, are you on Bumble already?
I'm on no dating apps right now. So I think
so we're going to set up a Bumble account. You'll be on Bumble. I think you should be on Seeking Arrangement also.
Really? Okay.
Because we got to try the two different types. So the type where you actually can like sign up like a menu of what you want and the guy can be like a billionaire and he could just rescue you, or you could just meet a normal guy on Bumble. But you don't want to date someone that lives with their mom and is like, and is like a fourth kid for you. You need a nice man who wants to get involved and be part of your family. And, you know, he could be blue collar or he could be, you know, retired and, you know, a millionaire. It doesn't really matter. But I think it's important to find your one. So what is your criteria? What should we be looking for?
Oh, you asked me this and I literally wrote a list this long.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. I think Aliza would be maybe proud of me. I don't know. Maybe I'm too picky. I don't know. But I don't want to settle. I don't need to settle at this point. You know, I've done that before and I'm never doing it again. So,
And by the way, for people that are just listening and not watching, you're very pretty. You look much younger.
I'm horrendous. That's why. No.
And you have amazing hair, by the way. And it's all real.
You. This is my real hair.
Which I think is phenomenal because no one has real hair anymore.
Oh, I do clip-in extensions sometimes, but then I just like started getting too lazy. And I've been taking like major vitamins lately. So I think they're helping. So I don't know. I'll send you a link.
Well, I can attest to the fact that it works because when I saw you in person, I was like, oh my God. And we went to a book signing for Judge Jeanine randomly and some major hairstylist beelined over to you to talk about your hair. So I can attest.
He was drunk. No, he was just being nice.
He might have been drunk, but he wasn't. I don't think.
Yeah.
All right. So go on. So what's
okay.
Criteria?
Well, okay. So it's
and everybody. Hold on. Everybody needs to listen up because even though we're doing this online and going to look on dating sites, if anyone has a suggestion of who they want to put in the pot to potentially meet Kelly, this could be really fun. You guys should DM us. We're going to tell you later how to get in touch with us. But so listen to her criteria.
Well, there's a whole email set up for it. Okay. If I remember, it's gettingmarried@misunderstoodpodcast.com. I think amazing. That's what it is.
And misunderstood is spelled MISS.
Yes. So. We'll link to it. But my list is going to be way different than what your list would be. Okay. You're going to be
everyone
gross.
Has their own list. No.
I know. Fine. No. There's so many. I mean, how do I narrow it down to like five? I don't know. But
what's your most important that you're probably not finding right now that really mean like as a deal breaker?
Gosh, I don't know if I have like a deal breaker.
Assume you don't want him to be a drug addict. You don't want him to be 25.
I don't want that. I want a strong, confident, I say Sigma male. It's a term I never knew until like the last few months, but it's like an alpha male, but they're like, I even wrote down the definition, someone who's more introverted than an alpha male, but they're like confident, determined, someone who has a clear sense of purpose and direction, holds strong to their convictions, doesn't let anyone walk all over them.
Oh, I like this type of guy.
Yeah. I think that's like what every woman actually is attracted to. Yeah.
Because A-type personalities, I'm attracted to those, but a lot of those turn out to be narcissists and they don't work out. So
like personality, I think is number one. Someone who loves the outdoors. That's really important to me.
That would definitely not be on my list.
I'm a big kayaker. I love camping and anything outdoors.
A wilderness man.
Yeah, like someone who's real comfortable, like building a fire and setting up a tent. And
okay, so we'll expand our search up into Alaska.
Oh, yeah. I think there was like a reality show or a calendar or something at one time, Men of Alaska.
That there's more men than women up there. So, and they're always looking. So we'll make
that's
sure.
That's true.
To
that's
look
true.
For, maybe there's got to be an online website for Alaskan men.
Ooh, but that's really important to me. I love that. Like lake life, you know, whatever. Someone who has like a thirst for life, is spontaneous, happy, well-adjusted, doesn't come with a ton of baggage, because I feel like I've mostly worked through all of mine and I don't want to bring theirs into it. Someone who's like, yeah, I'll go on a road trip with you this weekend. That's totally unplanned. That's like, I want someone like that. I love funny guys. Like we're talking like Jason Sudeikis, Conan O'Brien. There's something about a funny guy.
I like a funny guy too. I like funny more than I like attractive.
Same.
Yeah. I don't like guys that are too hot. That's annoying. I think it's much better if they're manly and rugged looking. I like that, but also funny. I think that's really important.
So personality's biggest for me. Someone who's financially secure and responsible, because you know, I've dated people before where I was always the one paying for all the fun things we did. And like, I don't care how much money someone makes, as long as they make their money, they pay their bills, they're good with all of that. I don't want to always be paying for everything. And because I have three kids anyway. So I'm like,
well, not to be crude, but nothing dries up a pussy more than having to like pay someone's rent at the end of the month, or they're always asking you for money. I mean, that's like literally having a stepkid or something.
It is. Okay. No, but I agree. Like I went on a date 5 months ago, probably now. They brought the check and they put it on this little tray thing, and he like pushed it my direction and was like, and I'm like, what? I mean, I don't expect him to pay always, but like the fact that he did that, I was like, really?
I hope you did not go out with him again.
I did. I went out with him several more times because I was so desperate and he was really hot. I wasn't desperate. Okay. No, don't say that. No. He was so hot. That doesn't matter to me. That's why
he's
sounds
like a gigolo. He's probably going out on dates so he can get free dinners and stuff.
Probably. And he was really dumb and just like total psycho, and a lot younger than me. I don't know. So
did he ever end up paying for anything?
Yeah, he paid for some stuff, but every time he did, he would like make mention of it a lot. He was like, so I paid for the tickets to blah, 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 and it cost this much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thanks. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Awful. Okay. So he's out for sure. Do not ever recycle him.
Yeah, no. And then a few other things, not many. Sorry. This is going on too long.
No, this is important. Like, if we're going to find the husband for you, we need to know.
Someone who doesn't necessarily, if they're like younger than me, someone who doesn't want their own biological kids because the bakery's closed, like you're not having more. They can have grown kids, whatever. I just want them to like love and respect my kids and their relationship with their dad and all of that. So like that should be number one, really. But yeah.
Is it important whether or not they have kids at all? Like I won't date somebody that hasn't had kids.
No, that's not important to me at all, because like I've known some wonderful men who just never aspired to have children of their own, but they're like amazing uncles. They have like nieces and nephews who they are super involved with and stuff like that. So that's fine. The main thing is like patience. They need to have patience and some understanding of like what it's like to raise kids a little bit. They don't need their own necessarily. I'm fine if they don't, but like I'm not going to have more of my own. So, and I also like, if they have kids, I don't want them to be similar ages, because I feel like I don't want a blended household where the kids are, you know, competing for attention or like feeling weird about that. Like that's really important to me too.
Wow.
So
interesting. Okay. I would have said that you wanted that, but okay.
Yeah. I don't want that, which is probably an unpopular opinion. I just don't want to put that on them, I guess. So
yeah, no, I get it. That's fine. Do you have an age or a physical thing that you're looking for that you're mostly attracted to?
I have literally no physical type. It's all personality, like the funny, the spontaneous, that kind of stuff is really what gets me. But I do like, I love someone with good hair. I love good hair. I don't know why, but like I am super
not bald.
I mean, no, but I think a shaved head can be good hair sometimes too. Like some guys really rock a shaved head. Yeah. That's fine. Like someone with their own sense of style, I guess, basically. I have a lot of tattoos. So
I was just going to say, what are your thoughts on tattoos for men?
I love tattoos. Love them. Obviously, it's not a deal breaker, but their attitude towards tattoos would be like, they have to be cool with them and they don't have to have them, but I do love them. So, right.
So like if you met a guy like Tommy Lee, who was just covered in tattoos, that's sexy.
Yes. That would be like, yes. Like physically wow. I love an artsy person. I love someone who loves good music, knows good music. I'm really into music. That's something I would love to have in common with a partner. Someone who's affectionate. I was in a really long-term relationship where it was very cold, sterile. There was no affection. And I'm a very like touch focused person. I'm very affectionate and stuff. So like, I would love to have that reciprocated and feel yeah. like someone likes that. So that's, right. you know, in a nutshell, that's
and
it.
And how
so.
Tall are you?
I'm 5'4", but I do like tall guys. Okay. Yeah.
Got it. And you like them big or skinny? You said, I mean, I don't, artsy, I'm picturing like a tall, thin dude.
Yes.
Like European that, body.
That would be
not my type. So I'm just curious what your type is. What are you attracted to? You could be open to more things.
I really love I love a dad bod. Honestly, I like a man with something to hold on to a little yeah, bit, like a chubby guy who is like the life of the party and having so much fun and funny is so much more attractive to me than like a supermodel looking guy who's like doing that with his hair and yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah. yeah. And is being chased by a bunch of women.
Yes.
Okay. So this is really exciting. This gives me, I wrote all these things down as you were telling me, because I'm going to, so what I think is going to be fun, we're going to set up some dating accounts for you and then I'm going to manage it because you have a bad picker because you haven't found anybody yet.
Yeah.
So I think what would be fun is for me to go through them and interview the people. Like, have you seen The Mirror Has Two Faces?
Yes. That's what it, yes, we should totally do that.
So fun because yeah. the sister and the mom, you know, take, I forget the woman's name, but Barbara Streisand's character, and they put her online and they interview all the guys and they pick someone to take her out. And they don't tell her until she's going out on the date that, you know, they found her on him on a website and blah, blah, blah. But it works out and they get married and they fall madly in love. So, I mean, with a bunch of things in between, but maybe if I'm interviewing them, it would be more interesting and have more opportunity for you to give them a chance. But also I think like you're going to come visit me here in Florida. We're going to go yes. out to bars. We're going to meet different people. We're actually going to post all this stuff. We're going to take our little camera with us. We might do, you know, I might interview some people in person and then send her on some like speed dates around the bar. How much fun would that be?
Oh my God. I love that idea. I'm seriously open to anything. And I think an outside opinion, not my own, because I do have a bad picker. I mean, I've had a really bad picker. Your perspective would be great.
Yeah. And I think we all have bad pickers for ourselves, or a lot of us. I do too. So sometimes I need someone's help.
Well, we should be doing this with you.
No, well, let's do the experiment with you first.
Okay. We'll try. I'll be the guinea pig. We'll see how it works.
So. Okay. Cool. Okay. Anything else that's important to make note of?
That's pretty much
it. And I can attest to the fact that Kelly is obviously by being, you're pretty and we all can see that, but you're also very sweet, very smart, can fit in anywhere.
Thank you.
And you have a good job and you,
I do.
You know, so there, you have a lot going for you. So like literally any guy I think would be into you. I think it's more about whether or not you're into the guy.
Well, thank you for all those kind words. I'm not psycho or anything. Like I'm not like, I don't have anything wrong with me that I like that I know of or anything like that. And I do, I'm still friends with a lot of people I've dated in the past. It just like didn't work out as like anything romantic. We're still friends. And I think that says a little bit about
100%. Yeah. So. I'm not friends with any of my exes. So maybe that says something about my personality.
No,
we'll get into that another time.
Yes. Okay. No. Well, I wouldn't be friends with them either.
All right. So we're going to get working on this. If you guys have anyone to suggest for Kelly in the meantime, every time we have our happy hour, we are going to talk about who she dated that week, what's gone on in the process. But we have a year and a half basically to find the right guy, find the venue, find the dress, find the flowers. Maybe we'll get some sponsors for all this. And, you know, who's going to do the food? Who's going to do the alcohol? Which reminds me, because we're going to start a segment. You tell them about the segment.
Oh, yes. So yeah, it's happy hour. We need to like have good drinks, things like that. So we're going to start a segment. You know, we're looking for sponsors to hook us up with wine or spirits, different things, cocktails. We're going to have a segment where we make some cocktails on the show. Yeah. We're going to have a segment called Spit or Swallow because, you know, it's happy hour.
Perfect.
Yeah, we can get a little risque. So like if it's a win, we'll swallow. If it's a, if we don't like it, we'll spit.
Spit it. Oh my God.
So we're going to have some fun segments coming up related to happy hour and cocktails and things like that. And again, like if you guys have any sponsors in mind, or if you are a winery or vineyard or like a, you know, a spirit company who wants to get in on the action.
Yeah. Go ahead and contact us and send us each a bottle of whatever you want us to drink. And we'll feature it on our show every Friday.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got so many fun segments coming up in the show. This is just the beginning. So yeah. I'm super excited.
So let's talk a little bit really quickly about the guests we've had on so far. So this week we had Skylar Baylor, who is really interesting because he was the first Division I athlete. He was recruited for swimming on the women's team. He took a year off and then started up his freshman year on the men's swimming team because he had transitioned or come out during that time. And that was a really interesting interview. I think it's, you know, obviously LGBTQ and transgenders is a hot topic, but it's a touchy topic. A lot of people who are not into it, you know, just like shy away from it and would probably skip that episode. But I actually think it was a great interview. I mean, as you know, because you were kind of sitting there listening, it was almost hard for me to do the interview because I didn't know if I would offend him. I didn't know if the questions I asked, if they were okay or not, because the stuff that we know about transgenders is just what we read and it's so controversial. And so I didn't want to offend him. I really think he's a great guy, but I just didn't know how to ask the questions. You know what I mean?
Well, so yeah, you did a great job. I mean, the key to ending the stigma and like the fear in it is education and just talking about it. Like that's the first step and you did an awesome job. And Skylar was like, that's his job. Like he is an educator and an advocate for the LGBT community, the trans community, all that. So like he, anytime you were like, I don't really know what to say here, he would be like, that's totally okay. Here's what I would say or what I'd be good with. And like, I hope nobody skips this episode because like, it doesn't matter what your political beliefs are or your personal or, your, you know, religious or anything like that. It doesn't matter. Like, this is a, like a human episode. It's like somebody's story and their struggle. And we all have been through struggles. And like, he just had just such a great inspirational story. And he's such a positive person. We can all use more of that for sure in our lives.
And he's so well-spoken. I mean, he really gets to the point and knows his facts. And then, you know, his story is so interesting. So everything about him was interesting. So I really liked that episode. And I want to encourage people to listen to it, even if it's not something they normally would. And then we had Kara Alloway come out on Wednesday, who used to be on Real Housewives of Toronto. She has a new book out. She's so fun and sweet and interesting. And that was just a fun episode. So I really appreciate her. And I hope everyone listens to that. I'm sure that's, you know, something everyone will listen to just because all those topics are so hot right now of everything on Bravo and the scandals. And, but she really talks about what it was like to be in reality TV and how she got the job and, you know, why it ended and all that stuff. And so that was a really cool interview. What are some interviews in the past, maybe name one or two that was your favorite for people that are just sort of learning about us that they can go back and listen to?
One of my top favorites was Kato Kaelin. With my true crime background, I was like so obsessed with the OJ Simpson case and everything. Like I remember where I was when the white Bronco was barreling down the highway. I was in my dad's den. Yeah. I was a senior in high school, about ready to go out. I remember what I was wearing even. That's like how obsessed I was with court TV and true crime. So having Kato Kaelin on telling his personal story about his involvement and that was awesome to me. Yeah. I loved that.
And what a great guest. He's so fun. And then I did his show and he's just like the nicest, most interesting guy who really has, you know, a narrative has been written about him and he's just had to become known as like the most famous house guest, but he really, his personality is like no other. So
he's so great. Yeah. He's so funny and goofy. I love his humor, like dad jokes for days. He was awesome.
Yeah. So was there another one that you liked too?
Another one. Well, you're probably going to agree with me. Lee Asher was great.
Yeah. He's my favorite. Yeah.
And I loved his story, his backstory of how he like struggled with learning disabilities and things like that, because my middle child is, you know, on the spectrum and struggles with developmental delay and things like that. And life has been hard for him. And there were so many parallels with his story and Lee's. And I was like, wow, my kid can grow up to do these amazing things. It was,
yeah. And for people that don't know, his name might not be so recognizable on our list of names, but he has like over 1 million followers on Instagram. I think he has 3 to 4 million on YouTube. And he drove across country and quit his job and now has a animal sanctuary in Oregon. Is that right? And is just one of the most inspirational guys because he shows the rescue of these animals and how he takes them in, how he either gets them adopted or, lets them live with him and becomes their protector for the rest of their lives. A lot of them have been abused, left on the side of the road. Some of them have actual physical ailments because of their abuse. It's really awful. But to watch these, episodes and then watch his videos and then follow the story of these dogs. Cause then you see this pack of dogs and you see, Matilde and you see, all these different dogs that you become, their name seeing how they're doing. It's so great. And he announced on our show, some breaking news for him that he's going to be partnering up with a, place where you can adopt animals.
Yeah.
They're going to, I think, put his name on it and the Asher House. And that's something he normally hasn't been doing a lot of. He was taking animals in and not adopting them out, but now he's going to start that. And I think he said that it's going to drop middle of next year or something.
Yes.
Is that what he said? And
you'll
have to watch the episode again to listen. But he is like just such an interesting guy and really inspirational. So it was a two-part episode. You definitely should listen to both parts. So I was going to say for me, Lee was my favorite. And then one that hasn't come out yet that I'm really excited about was Rudy Giuliani. He was on my bucket list for someone to interview even before I started this podcast. He and I share, the tragedy of 9/11. He was part of it. He obviously knew people in it, but he became a hero that day. And I lost my fiance that day and I was working at Bloomberg News. My boss, Mike Bloomberg, was about to come in as mayor. And Rudy was leaving the office as mayor. So it was a very interesting day. I ended up buying a dog 2 days later, naming him Rudy Giuliani. So Rudy stayed in my life for 20 years or 19 years. And he was like the one true man I had in my life, my dog. So it was really special for me to meet Rudy, to walk through September 11th with him, and then also be able to ask him some questions because obviously he's been in the news a lot. I got to ask him some questions about what he thought about New York, what he thought about, being misunderstood and, being accused of a lot of different things. So we got to hear from his perspective. So I think that's a really interesting episode. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to Sarma from Bad Vegan. Yes. If anyone hasn't seen Bad Vegan yet on Netflix, it's a really interesting documentary about a woman who was an owner of a vegan restaurant, a very famous celebrity hangout vegan restaurant in Manhattan. And it ended up that she got into a relationship and got married to this guy and ended up funneling out almost $2 million of the company's money, wasn't able to pay people at her company, and then kind of looked like she was on the run with this guy and ended up getting put in jail for fraud and a bunch of other things. And now it came on our show to tell her story, her side. So at the end of the documentary, you kind of don't know whether or not she's a complete criminal and she was in on it, or if she just made a really bad decision with men and she might have been, psychologically abused and what that means. So she came on and really explained herself. And I actually really like her as a person. So I was really happy to have her. And we have some really interesting guests that are on our books going forward that we're looking forward to interviewing. And so I think everyone will be really excited as this podcast grows. We're just getting like in the incoming phone call business of people that want to be on the show and give their narrative from themselves, as opposed to having somebody else reduce them to a single headline. So I think it's really going to be interesting.
That's what this show is all about. I mean, everyone's got a story to tell and they want to tell you. I just love it. It's, yeah, we have a lot of great guests coming up. So,
yeah. And I think what people should be aware of too, because we're always open to hearing your thoughts and suggestions of who you want to hear interviewed. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone like that's a household name that's super famous, like a Pamela Anderson or something. It could be someone that, or a topic that you really want to know more about, like something that Kelly and I are going to get involved with this in the next month or so. We're doing an interview with somebody who assists in deaths in the state of California. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about that. I find it interesting. I think the whole topic is misunderstood. Some people think it's suicide. Some people think it's horrible. Some people think it's great. And I don't even know the details of it. So I'm so excited to have this guest on and listen to her speak about it and be educated on the topic, you know.
I'm so excited about that too. There are two certainties in life. You're born and you die. And we don't really know much about either of those things because, you know, and I just think that's going to be an episode that appeals to everyone just because it's so interesting. It's fascinating. Yeah. And one thing I wanted to say about this show that I'm so proud of and that I love about you and that I love about the show is there are no like political lines. There's no subject that we won't tackle. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, left, right, red, blue. We just want to have the conversations about all of it, just all of it. And I love that you're tackling all of that. So,
yeah. And I think it's so important. My background is I started at Bloomberg News. I was at CNBC before that. And I learned that good journalism is just the facts. You shouldn't put your opinion in on it. And I'm somebody who, by, you know, nature or whatever, is an inquisitive person. So I ask a million questions no matter what. So I try to put my, you know, everyone has judgments about things or they think, you know, they have their opinions, but I really, you know, I've taken guests that I haven't been interested in because I don't like their perspective. Yeah. But, and some people have said, well, how could you interview this person? You know, that's, why would you listen to their side? But because I'm curious about their side, you know, people don't understand why humans make the decisions that they do. And I feel like I want to get to the bottom of that so that I can make my own decision as opposed to just reading about who that person is. That happened to me, that many people, you know, made the assumption of who I was. They still do, just from reading about me in the press or seeing things about me. And, you know, I realize I have to tackle one person at a time by meeting them in person. But when they meet me in person, they're always like, oh my God, you're so much different than who I thought you were. So I think that's an important platform to give other people. So people can also email or DM myself or Kelly with questions, suggestions. We also have an email address.
info.misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. So I'll put it on the screen and in the notes of the show. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So normally I think one other segment we would do is our happy hour headlines
and yeah.
The news, but we could maybe start that next week because, you know, I don't want this to be too long for people, but there's so many interesting stories that we will capture, cover. And again, anything you guys suggest, we would love to hear from you. By the way, which reminds me, it means so much to us when you guys go in and write reviews and give us 5 stars, or if you hate it, you can give us 1 star. But I would really appreciate it if more people did that or tell people about the show, because obviously that's the way that we grow. So I would love to make the request that when you are done, if you're watching on YouTube, if you like it, subscribe to it, right? Or is that how you say it?
Yeah. Like, subscribe, rate, review, all the things. Okay. Yes.
All the things. They're super important. They're super helpful. We read those things and we are really appreciative. So sometimes I wish I could write back and I don't really know how to do that, especially on the Apple reviews or whatever. Yes. But like we get such good reviews from people and they're really helpful. And I love reading what people have to say. So.
Okay.
You want to end with the lightning round?
Yes. So I want to do a lightning round because you've talked too much about me so far. Let's talk more about you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to take you off guard a little bit, I think. So first question, what was your favorite subject in school?
Music.
Music. Really?
I was a really good singer. Yeah.
Well, then you still are.
I'm horrible. I'm horrible now. And when I sing, my daughter like literally runs in the other room. But I used to have a great voice. I was the lead singer in my band called the Arcadians in high school. And also I was a lead in our 8th grade musical. You know, you have like a you know, a musical that everybody knows. Yeah. I was in Iolanthe, which was a Gilbert and Sullivan, and I was the lead in it. So, by the way, got me to go to school because there was a time in my life in eighth grade where I wasn't so happy in my life, in my home life and in the school life. And it got me to go to school because they gave me the lead part and I just loved music. So
that's amazing. Oh my God. I didn't know that. Okay. What's your go-to comfort food?
Cereal.
What is there any particular kind?
So right now I'm really into the Special K with the strawberries in it.
I love that. Yep.
It's so good. And then sometimes I mix pops in it or like Cinnamon Life on top of it just for a little mixture and I'll put some like blueberries.
Those are all great. Yeah. Okay. I love Fruity Pebbles.
Those are good.
Okay. So if you had $1 million to donate to any charity, which charity would you donate to?
The Asher House.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm a sucker for animals and I'm a sucker for Lee. So
yes, Lee's great. Yeah. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Describe your perfect meal, appetizer, entree, and dessert.
Oysters to start. Entree, steak tartare with a side of fries.
Are you a dessert eater? Do you have a sweet tooth?
Not really. I do, but it's like gummy bears or something. Okay. Like that. Nothing you can get at a restaurant. Yeah.
Okay.
Once in a while, I'll like a really good like cobbler, like if they have a berry peach cobbler or something, I could get into that. Or that's like coffee, ice cream or something.
Oh yeah. That's good. What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas.
What's the weirdest thing in your refrigerator right now?
Clamato. Do you know
what that is? Yes, I do.
It's clam juice and tomato juice mixed. I love it. It's so good. And this is even weirder. I stick a hearts of palm in it.
It's like a virgin Bloody Mary, basically.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. People should try it. And there's also one called Beef Amato, which is more rare, but it's really good. They're great to make Bloody Marys with, but they're also good as just like an alternative to V8.
If you could travel back to any time period, when would it be?
Okay, I can already answer this. The 80s. I wish that every decade was the 80s. I love the 80s. I love the music. I love the outfits. I love the big hair. I'm all about that.
That's a great answer.
I didn't like turtlenecks, but maybe that was like end of 70s or the 80s.
Yeah. Turtlenecks kind of make you go like that.
Yeah, but the 80s were so fun.
They were great, yeah. Morning person or night owl?
As I've gotten older, I'm not as much a night owl, like going out, but I'll stay up late. I love my shows. So like I'll stay up late and I'll watch the things that I'm into. I'm not someone who will go to sleep early, but that doesn't mean I go out late at night.
Right.
And then I've actually become a morning person, which is scary because, you know, like we all hear like your grandparents get up like at the crack of dawn or 5 or 6 in the morning. I've been waking up at like 5:36 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's a sign of age, but also I've moved to Palm Beach and it's, you know, the sun comes out early and I have dogs and they want to go outside. So I've been getting up earlier.
I've noticed that by your text messages.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. What's one thing that most people don't know about you?
That I have my master's in forensic investigation.
I love that.
I moved right after I got my license, but I was going to stay there and work with the guy who trained me or headed up the program. He had a detective agency and I wanted to be an undercover, you know, detective or whatever, a PI. And we would do for our lesson plan or whatever, we would actually go and do things with him. So it was really fun.
Yeah. The true crime girl in me loves that. I love that. What's your most memorable travel experience?
My favorite place is going to Chiang Mai. I went by myself. It's the northern part of Thailand, kind of near the Golden Triangle. And a lot of people don't know that area. If they go to Thailand, they're going to Bangkok or they're going to Phuket down south. I loved going there. There's an elephant sanctuary in Chiang Rai, which is right near there in driving distance. And I stayed at the Four Seasons there. And elephants are literally just roaming around that they've saved from being in Bangkok. And then I went on like a 3-day trek on them where they teach you how to climb up its trunk basically
and the
commands to say to it to get on its back. And you like go in the water with them and they aid themselves. You almost think you're going to go all the way underneath, and because they go underneath, but you're sitting on them. It was so fantastic. It was like one of the best experiences. And I would love to go there again with somebody in my life to like witness it with me, because I did it by myself. So I'm dying to get back there. I think it's so amazing. Oh, and I met, like, I had a shaman that I worked with every day. And I went to this place called Tao Garden. I wonder if it's even still there. It was like a medicine place. They like take your blood out, they spin it, they tell you what's wrong with you, they put you in all these different scenarios and to make you healthier, but they're kind of medicine. It was just so cool. I loved it.
Wow.
Oh, and I got to tell you one more thing. I studied with, I got a personal trainer every morning who was a Muay Thai kickboxing instructor. And he told me about his business or whatever. And so because I was there for a week and a half, I actually extended my trip, but I would go hang out at his business. And then they had matches on Friday and Saturday night. So I would go with them. And this is how I met like the locals or the people that had literally flown in from everywhere, from Germany, Russia, to come in. And I would watch their matches and I would help like rub them down with the oil and stuff so that if they got hit, they wouldn't get hurt. It was so fun. And I got so fit in the 2 weeks that I was there.
I bet you did. That's amazing. I love mixed martial arts. That's so interesting to watch. It's so like such a beautiful dance. I love that. So yeah. What's your current TV binge?
Well, at the moment, Selling Sunset came out. So season 3, I guess it is. So I have been watching that. But my current binge over an arc of time right now is Grey's Anatomy, because I never watched it the first time it was around. So now I'm convinced that I'm like as qualified as a surgeon or a doctor. So like, I'm always trying to diagnose people, but I feel like I'm fully invested in that show. I love it. And I'm almost caught up to where it is now, I guess, on live TV. So I'm getting very anxious that it'll be, you know, the end of my run with Grey's Anatomy, but I have really enjoyed that. And actually it's really cute, 'cause I watch it with my daughter, and she, I just read her like graduation thing, 'cause she's ending lower school right now and she's going to start sixth grade next year. And, what I didn't know, and she put it on her thing, is that she wants to be a surgeon because she has a special connection with her mom, and they watch Grey's Anatomy together. And now she wants to be a surgeon for a living. I thought that was so cute.
That's so sweet. Oh, yeah. I love that. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That show's been around forever. It's been going for so long.
And every season is like 26 episodes. It's crazy.
That is crazy. That is all I have for you, probably.
Right, so every week we'll have some new lightning round, whether or not, you know, I ask you, or we bring in our tech guy, Richard, here and ask him, get him involved. We'll figure out what our lightning round will be. If you guys have any questions for us, you can always submit them. We might go through my phone and see what celebrity needs to get a random prank call. Actually, we were talking about, we think it's more fun to, like, when we have a fun celebrity guest, for them to prank someone. Like, we should have done that with Rudy Giuliani. We should have had him call like Ryan Seacrest, who's in my phone, or Derek Jeter. That would have been hysterical.
That would be amazing. I don't know why. I just love that kind of humor. I love prank calls. I think they're the funniest thing ever. And well, I think we're wrapping it up for this week's episode of Happy Hour with Misunderstood.
Yes. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys are going to settle in for your weekend, have a good time. Definitely please share our show with other people and let people know about it. We will be doing this every Friday, and we look forward to having you be a part of it.
Yeah. And be sure to subscribe, like everything, follow Rachel on Instagram at RachelYucatelNYC. You can find me on Instagram at Kelly, it's with an I, Brink. Leave a good review. We appreciate it. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, all the things. You can find all the links down below.
Excited for next week to do the spit or swallow segment. So definitely anyone interested in sending myself and Kelly a bottle of wine or tequila or anything, let us know so that we can feature you next week.
Absolutely. Yes. So many fun segments in store. Just the first episode, but we've got so many fun things coming up.
Okay. And so everyone say a very nice congratulations to Kelly on her impending marriage. And I hope that we are setting off a new way to find your husband, which is to plan a date and just find the guy to fill in the spot.
I mean, why not? I've tried everything else. So
I'm marking it on my calendar.
Yes. Cheers to that.
We'll tell you what happens next week in the next week for how much progress we've made.
We will. We'll update you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.